Good morning. It is delightful to gather together and to have our own Gretchen Sanuski preaching and leading worship this morning. While Stacy and Paul are away at the American Baptist Gathering in Portland, the Mission Summit. They'll be back later this week. Gretchen, we're so glad to have you leading worship today. You'll find in your bulletin a connection card, a chance for you to, on the front, if you're visiting, share some information. On the back, there's also a chance for all of us to say about what our next step might be. I was reading these this morning, and I was drawn to all of them. First one about being interested in being a part of a welcoming crew on a Sunday morning. I think we're going to hear about welcome this morning. Sharing a way that you might be able to serve. Church staff always love to hear about your gifts and your talents. And then that last one there, take some time this week to reach out to someone who needs to know that they matter to you. So I invite you to think about that and pray about that, what your next step might be this week. You might have another step that you're thinking of too. I invite you to think about that. So we're invited now to settle in for worship, to receive what God has for us, and to actively give back to God. Let us worship the living God together.
Thank you. Please rise if you are able for the invocation. Loving God, thank you for the freedom to gather together on this beautiful day. Open our minds and our hearts as we worship, that we may see your message and your love in the world around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Please pray with me. Lord, we stand today as our forefathers have stood before you in times gone by, celebrating our history and reveling in all the great things that our country has achieved. On this day, we rejoice in the favor you have graciously given us. We thank you for the blessings of liberty, for this generation, and for the generations to come. We thank you for our independence, peace, and for all those who have bravely given their lives in the defense of freedom and justice. We thank you that your gracious and provident hand has given us so much. Yet, as a nation and people, we have not always chosen the right way. We ask you to forgive us these times. On this day, we commit ourselves to wholeheartedly honoring and serving you. With everything that we are, we lay our lives before you. Make us a generous people, a holy nation, a people set aside to love you, for the sake of the land of the brave and free, and the peoples and nations of this world. Today, we do not presume your grace for our country. Our land is in need of you. Our people are in need of you. Our industry and business are in need of you. May we look only to you this Independence Day, dependent on you. Please come now by your glorious Holy Spirit, breathe new life into the sinews of this nation. May justice flow like rivers and righteousness like a never-failing stream until the whole of our country is covered with your glory as the waters cover the sea. We lift up those who are close to us, who are in need of healing, for Bill and Ginny McKeachy, Helen Louise Bowser, Nancy Rushton, Juanita Dearly, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Ethan Wright, Wally Jordan, Saw Charlie, Logan Sweet, Paul Farahy, Dottie Kassler, Jody Wilt. We pray for Kay, Barb, and Bob. For the Jones family, John Wallace, Tony Brown. For Jim Terrace, Jim Johnson. For a sister. And for Kim and Jason Weaver. And now we pray together the words Jesus has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Please stand if you are able for the reading of our gospel lesson. Today we hear God's words to us from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10. I'm going to begin a little bit earlier than what's printed in your bulletin. I'll be reading verses 37 through 42. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me.
Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. The word of the Lord. Please be seated. As you do, I would like to invite all the children to come forward for time as children with Zan.
Good morning. Did you hear that reading that Miss Gretchen just read? Has a lot about welcome and reward. Welcome, those who welcome, those who welcome, receive welcome, those who welcome, their reward. When we come to church, our cup is filled. Our cup is filled with God's love. When we hear the stories about Jesus, when we meet with each other, our cups are filled. So I'm going to fill these cups.
And when our cups are filled, we can drink that nice cool glass of water, which is also mentioned in this gospel reading. Go ahead and drink your water. Your cup is filled. You are welcome here. You are an important part of this place. We meet you as you are. We fill your cup. God fills your cup here.
Now, here's the good news, that we get to spread the love that we get here. The love that we receive from God when your cup is filled, then you get to go bring a cup of cold water to others. I'm going to give you each a cup of cold water to bring out to the congregation. Can you put your dirty cups here? Your cups that you just...
Because it's not just about receiving. It's about bringing the welcome out to others. So can you please carefully take your water and find somebody in the congregation who needs a drink? A nice cool drink. Now sometimes that's literally just needing water. Sometimes it gets awfully hot in the sanctuary. Maybe it's just needing a cool glass of water. Find somebody who you can bring a glass of water to. Can you find somebody? Go find somebody who needs a glass of water. Maybe it's a compliment. Maybe it's not just actual water. Maybe it's forgiveness that you're bringing. Maybe you're helping somebody laugh. You have something to give. You received. You were welcome here. God welcomes you. You receive, and then you brought out. Here's another cool part that God says. That you bring welcome, but when you go out and you bring to others, you also receive. That's part of the reward. So you get water here, you bring water out, and guess what? There are people in the congregation who have more water to give to you. Because when we go out and be the welcome in the world, when we welcome others, we also receive God's love when we're doing that. So I invite you now to go into the congregation, and there are some people who are going to raise their hand or raise their cup. They have cups of water to give you, because when you go out and welcome others, you also receive. So can you now go find somebody who has, oh, I see some people. I see Carolyn. I see Christina. See if you can find some water. Because it is not all giving. It's not all taking. Being in the community of God, in the kingdom of God, it's about receiving and giving and receiving and giving. And sometimes it's just a cold glass of water. But sometimes we're given forgiveness back and forth, love back and forth.
While you drink that cup of water, let's pray. Are you ready? Generous God, we thank you that you fill our cup when we come here to church, and that we can then bring your love to the world. Whether that's in a cup of water, or whether that's forgiveness, or saying we're sorry, or laughing with somebody. And God, we thank you that when we do those things, when we welcome others and show your love, that we also receive in that moment. We thank you that we get to give love and we get to receive love. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for inviting me to bring the word this morning. It's always a joy to be able to preach, and certainly always a joy to be able to worship with the congregation here. Will you join me in prayer? Almighty God, we thank you for calling us together this morning to be your people with a purpose set apart and called to serve you. We pray that your Spirit would move in and through us, that we might be inspired to offer your cup of cold water in new ways. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We are about to celebrate Independence Day, which marks the signing of the Declaration of Independence back in 1776, declaring the U.S. a sovereign nation out from under the rule of England. And still today, independence is one of the strongest markers of our U.S. culture. The American dream is built on the cultural belief that the United States holds opportunity for any person to pull themselves up by their own bootstraps and create their own destiny. We value independent thinking, unique self-expression, innovation and invention, and the path less traveled. Our heroes of today are those who made it on their own. We love stories of great athletes who came from poverty and obscurity and rose to stardom. We love self-made business people who now own companies that are worth billions. Some of our most popular TV shows today are about discovering new talent in ordinary, everyday people. Independence is part of the fabric of who we are in the U.S., one of our highest values. When we read this scripture passage this morning from Matthew, we bring to it our filters of independence and independent thinking. In this passage, Jesus is teaching the disciples how to be effective followers and how to impact the world with God's presence. So we bring to this text our cultural understanding of a personal call from God, a personal mission in life, and how we believe that lines up with Jesus. We focus on the ways that we can share a cup of cold water to the best of our ability. Yet none of Jesus' teaching in this passage includes this type of independence. In his time, culture was communal, not independent. Jesus is not teaching us how to be independent followers, but instead how to be interdependent followers. Jesus' instructions are all about reworking mutually dependent relationships. So we need then to understand communal culture to fully understand Jesus' commands about how to follow him. My older daughter, Maya, recently returned from spending her final semester in college studying abroad in Uganda. And I am fascinated by the communal culture of the Ugandan people. It's manifested in a wide range of ways. For instance, the way Ugandans dress is a collective endeavor. A person's wardrobe is chosen so that they blend in. It helps a person be part of the group. People don't dress to stand out or express their individuality like we do. A communal thinking is expressed even in more significant ways for these people. When a person with mental illness receives treatment at a facility and then prepares to go back to their own hometown, it is imperative that that community accepts the person. If the community is unwilling to accept them, then he or she literally has no place to call home. Without communal acceptance, the person can end up living a rather nomadic lifestyle or living the rest of their life at a treatment facility. Now, communal culture is very different from groupthink. Groupthink is about peer pressure. It's fear-based. But communal culture, or interdependence, is about mutual support, an equal give and take. Similarly, Jesus' audience would have understood following him as something that's communal, relational, interdependent. Now, Jesus' ways of following might have even seemed more radical to his audience than it does to us independent thinkers. Jesus is calling his followers to no longer define themselves by their bloodlines. Jesus must become more important than loyalty to mother, father, son, daughter. Further, Jesus says, don't get rid of all your burdens to the community. Bring them along. Take up your cross. Bring your struggles in the community as you follow me. And finally, Jesus says, life ought not to be defined by how well a community can preserve itself. Instead, Jesus' followers must lose their lives and their identities to gain life in Christ. This is a drastic change of relational priorities, from being defined by community and family to now being defined by following Christ. In a way, Jesus declares the day that we decide to follow him as Interdependence Day. Then Jesus goes on to say how we are to live out this interdependence with him. Now, by definition, a community is a closed group for identity and safety. But Jesus teaches that as part of a community that is following him, we must be welcoming to those who belong to Christ, welcoming to people such as prophets, the righteous, those who do good works in Jesus' name or a disciple's name. Jesus teaches us to open up, blur the lines, fudge the borders. Not only should a community let in people who are following Christ, but a community of Christ should go above and beyond to offer others a cup of cold water. Strangers are to become guests, treated with exquisite hospitality. Now, communities of Jesus' day that were of the Jewish faith were obligated by their faith to extend hospitality to strangers. But those communities did not necessarily make those strangers part of the community. Our individualistic mindset might give us a little advantage here because we make our own choices about who we accept and we align ourselves with other like-minded people who also are accepting. But here is where we also get stuck. In our U.S. culture, we're all about an individual mission, figuring out our own purpose in life and being a servant in our own way. We see giving a cup of cold water as being about us. What water are we going to choose? What kind of cup will we use to give to someone else? Who are the people in need that we feel especially called to serve? And how can we teach them to get their own water? But Jesus calls us here to interdependent following, not to be an independent servant enterprise in his name. At worst, our independent thinking leads us to an us-them mentality where we become the givers and they out there are the takers because they're in need. I've always been very curious about how missionaries from the U.S. who are serving in developing nations live out that command of Jesus to give a cup of cold water. Is it a hand out? Is it a hand up? Is it a coming alongside? Do missionaries operate out of their own independent cultural biases where there are haves and have-nots? Is their work about personal generosity while their motivation and heart are focused on Christ? Way back in the day, almost too many years to count now, I did a short-term missionary stint in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. I lived in a rural village that was only accessible by plane, and lived and worked with some of our most wonderful American Baptist missionaries. And I learned while I was there that we humans do struggle to translate ourselves to other cultures, to be Christ's presence without our own biases. But I also learned that we human beings have a great capacity to open ourselves to strangers, to truly live interdependently, sharing cups of cold water rather than giving handouts. Sometimes the result is a third culture, an interesting blend of missionary culture and native culture where everyone tends to live in new ways. That's not all bad, but still Jesus calls us to give a cup of cold water in the way that he did, out of pure love and equal relationship. I remember one of the missionaries that I worked with there. He liked to tell a story about his son, Stephen, who was about 6 at the time. Stephen was outside one day with his father when a bunch of the village children came over to their house. Now, this missionary was very careful to learn the language before he opened his mouth and said too much. So he was just listening as the kids were chattering all around him. And suddenly, he heard his son, Stephen, laughing. His son completely understood this native language. But not only that, his little boy was part of the group. He was one of them. There was no more us and them. Kids are naturally good at drinking cups of cold water together. Perhaps with the openness of children, we can be mutually reliant with one another, sharing our drinks, interdependently quenching the thirst of our souls. What do you think it would look like if we really did have an interdependence day? What would it be like if we were spiritually interreliant or even just mutually supportive without all of our prejudices and dividing lines? It might be sort of hard to imagine in our current cultural climate, where we continue to hear news reports of shootings, of police officers being acquitted for shooting black men, where we constantly battle over gun safety and gun rights, where healthcare is all up in the air and we're not sure where it will land, where people don't often have the healthcare that they need. When we are so fractured and factioned, how could we ever be truly interdependent? Even in Jesus' name. As Jesus taught in this passage, we too need to learn how to change our loyalties to letting Jesus live and love through us. We need to blur the lines, to open our hearts and our minds, to extend a hand to give and receive, and to learn how to hold a common cup of cold water. I recently heard a woman speak. Her name is Auburn, and she shared her life story about a time she was living here in Ann Arbor back in 1992. She reports that she grew up in privilege. She says, "I had my expensive college education all paid for. I got to study abroad, and I got to have opera lessons." But when she came to Ann Arbor, she says she discovered poverty and injustice, people who truly needed a cup of cold water. She became overwhelmed and distraught over all the social ills she saw around her. Impacted by her U.S. culture, she grew to have a real tunnel vision over her own personal responsibility for solving these social issues and the exact ways that she should be giving that cup of cold water. And like many of us, this is where she got stuck. Auburn decided that the only way she could ever legitimately give a cup of cold water to someone else was to completely destroy her upbringing and privilege. She says she would have eradicated her Caucasian ethnicity if she could have. She came from a Christian home, so she had this deep sense of following Christ and felt a call to give this cup of cold water. How her idea to reach out as Christ to others came about was that it was still very steeped in individualism. She got very focused on what she could or could not accomplish and just couldn't make that jump to Jesus' call for interdependence. Well, here in Ann Arbor, Auburn fell in love and got married, and it was through that relationship that she was introduced to street drugs. She was deep into her addiction when she hit bottom. She describes how she was home alone. It was late at night. She was experiencing withdrawals, and her husband was somewhere out on the streets drug seeking. She felt desperate. She saw all this need in the world, and on top of that, her own depression had now led her to this lonely place of self-destruction. Spiraling down that night, she held in her hand a crunched-up piece of paper, and written on it was a phone number given to her by her mother for a Christian counselor. But she had absolutely no desire to reach out. Yet that night in that room with her was her baby boy, still sticky with candy and chocolate from when she tried to keep him quiet during a drug run. So she unfolded that piece of paper and she called. It was about 2 a.m. A man answered the phone, and she explained that she had gotten this phone number from her mother and wondered if he would be willing to talk with her. "Sure, sure," he said, and she could hear him sort of gather himself and then become completely present on that phone call. He listened deeply. He reflected back her pain. And she began pouring out all kinds of truths about herself that she hadn't told in a very long time. Things like, "I might be a drug addict. I might be a neglectful mother. I might be caught in an abusive marriage." He listened to her on the other end of that phone all the way until the sun came up that morning, and she began to feel more even, like she could cope and maybe move in a new direction. She thanked him profusely for listening to her and told him what a wonderful counselor he is, that he surely must have been doing this for quite some time. But he was just quiet on the other end of the phone. He finally said, "I was kind of hoping to avoid this part of the conversation." But Auburn persisted, just overflowing with gratitude for his listening ear. So finally he said to her, "Okay, look, I need you to not hang up the phone right now." "Okay," she agreed. He said to her, "This number you called, it was a wrong number." This stranger, whose name she never knew, with whom she never spoke again, offered her this bottomless cup of cold water. Auburn says, "This person showed me that there is random love out there in this world, and that some of that love is for me." He saved her life. The person on the other end of that phone moved way beyond his own independent thinking and how he could just give a cup of cold water. He moved beyond his own boundaries. He put away his perception of drug addicts. He was willing to lose his life to find it in Christ. And for both Auburn and this nameless man on the other end of the phone, this truly was Interdependence Day. This is how we can give Jesus' cup of cold water to another. So the thing is, this cup of cold water, wasn't ever ours to begin with. It is Christ's. Yet he puts it into our hands over and over again. Jesus asked the woman at the well to give him a cup of cold water. And in that act, she was forgiven and made whole, and her community was made whole. Jesus asked the disciples to give the crowds of 5,000 something to eat. And in that act of sharing, love was multiplied, and the multitudes were filled and fulfilled. And as we learned in worship last week, God saved the life of the child Ishmael and brought about a great nation just through a drink of water in the hands of Hagar. A simple cup of cold water saves souls and it saves lives. Water in Scripture represents interdependence, as we see it in the symbol of baptism or in Jesus eating and drinking with outcasts. When we give a cup of cold water to another, we give it to Jesus himself. If we lose our lives for Jesus' sake, that cup of cold water in our hands creates interdependent community. We are the ones on the other end of that phone. We are the ones holding out that cup of cold water to a thirsty world. Indeed, it is time for Interdependence Day. Let us make it so. Amen. Knowing that we have been gifted by God and been given cups of cold water to share, let us return our gifts to God this morning as we give through our morning offering. Most gracious God, you offer to us cups of cold water each day. We ask that as you put them in our hands, you would use them and multiply them, that others might know your love and lose their lives to find them again in you. Multiply our offerings that we bring before you today and use them for your will and purpose in this community. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, as we worship together, we do celebrate an Interdependence Day. We extend a cup of cold water to one another, and we receive in return. Let us this morning show our gratitude to Christ by offering one another signs of Christ's peace. The peace of Christ be with you.